We just stepped on their face with a hobnail boot and broke their nose.
How about them fucking dogs? That's what I told them.
Hope it didn't take that long again. Go dogs.
Ladies and gentlemen, 100 Sanford Podcast is back. And not only are we back, we got the Big G back in the building. New computers, new mics, new everything. Look at you looking good, boss.
Let me see. I should have moisturized, but hey. Look, all right.
Hey, man, look. Beard,
but hey, it's rough and tough week.
Yes, sir.
Ain't no time for pretty stuff.
You know what's funny is that I was going to shave and everything, right? And then somebody had mentioned, they said, oh, look at Dion. Dion looked good with that little silver in his beard. He had the cowboy hat and the sunglasses. I said, you know what? I'm going to go Dion this week,
I'm trying to get like y'all, man. I got a few. I've jumped up to about six grays in the beard,
man. You don't want
trying to get like y'all. I'm trying to get like y'all soon, man.
No, man, you don't want this. You know, I've had this. Man.
Them silver foxes, man. Y'all get all the attention, man.
No, man. I've had a little bit of silver, a little bit of gray ever since I was like, man, I want to say mid 20s, something like that.
Really?
Like, yeah, I had like a little couple ones that came in that I was like, all right. How long is this going? You know, the whole transition. And then, you know, with the kids, boom, you know, the kids bring it. Marriage and kids bring nothing but grades, man. But how was vacation, man? You was on vacation last week.
It was good, man. The only thing the thing that I missed was sports, man. I couldn't get any football where I was traveling over in Europe. You know, YouTube TV doesn't work. That's how I get my stuff. Then I got like another little site I used. It wouldn't come up, VPN stuff, whatever. So you know what? I decided to just check scores and enjoy vacation. But I'm back now.
Hey, do they got ESPN International or something over there?
You could get some stuff. I forgot what did I tune in. I tuned in one time to something. But again, you know, it's day games would be cool, you know, if you can get them because it's about 5-6 hours ahead. But otherwise, you know, I'm waking up the group chats with 100 texts in them, you know, talking about the games and night before. And, you know, I'm asleep. You know what I mean? But it was cool. It was cool. Got to see some NFL ball on my last day there. Mm-hmm. Watch Titans and Titans Ravens.
Were you around the area that you could go live and see it?
Say what now?
Were you around the area where you can go, you know, go live and see the game?
I went to the game.
What I thought. What's the feeling like? What's the feeling like? You know,
it's cool, man. I was a guest of my boy Rand Carthon of the Tennessee Titans. So I was with some. We sat with some other Titans, you know, fans and stuff, but also seems to be a lot of Baltimore Ravens fans in there. Can't quite tell if they're from Baltimore or from, and I believe a lot of them were from, you know, from I guess the UK.
Yeah.
You know, but you sell jerseys from everywhere. It was cool. Tottenham is a nice stadium. Mm-hmm. It was built in 2019, so it's a fairly new stadium. Only thing that, you know, was tough for me was the size of the seats and no cup holders, which is weird because they definitely serve a lot of drinks and beers and all this stuff, but mm-hmm. ain't not a cup holder in sight. You know what I mean?
I'm surprised I didn't have like tea and crumpets.
Oh no, man. I got me some chicken fingers and waffle fries there.
Yeah.
A nice little drink, you know, they do it right over there. And it's, like I say, it's a nice stadium. It's mm-hmm. probably about the size of your average NFL stadium. You know, college stadiums are a little bigger than NFL stadiums over here. And so it's about 65,000 and they packed it out, man. NFL puts on a good product over there. Hey, they put on a really good product.
Are you in support of the NFL putting a team over there? Or just, you know, or just keeping it more or less like a novelty like it is now, you know, a few games a year and people just kind of going over vacation and that sort of thing.
Yeah, novelty would be cool. We can ask our guest about that. You know, he has a team that's, you know, played, you know,
multiple times
over there. And probably has something to do with their owner, Mr. Khan. I'm pretty sure he's been a guest over there of the team before. They like to bring a lot of legends over there when their respective teams play. That would be interesting. It's just a lot of travel. You know what I mean? They would have to make those schedules. It'd be tough, man. I think it'd be tough. They probably have to play a lot of home games, which would definitely be. Then you'd be like that. That's a disadvantage to everyone else.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So I'm not sure, man. But it's cool. It's definitely cool as a novelty as it is now. Mm-hmm. Have they did the Germany games yet?
I think they're starting the Germany games. They've done Mexico, obviously. I think Mexico might have been one of the first joints they did back in the day.
I'm talking about this year. I thought Germany was this year.
Germany's up on the list. I gotta look. I'll look that up. But I know they're up on the list.
I thought they were doing some this year.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's this year. It's definitely this year. I just don't know which game it is.
Okay.
And that'll be interesting.
I think all the UK games are done.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think they're done already.
Yeah. I just thought about it, man. Because you were over there, and I know they keep talking about the games internationally. They keep talking about like possibly putting a franchise over in England or Mexico, and I'm like, you know, I don't know if I want to do it. You know, if I was a player, you know, want to uproot my family and live across seas, and then you got the financial exchange and differences in terms of currency and things like that. But like you said, the novelty, you know, obviously the NFL's making bank. The fans love it. You know, it's an international game now, so they get an opportunity and a chance to sit down and see a real live game in front of them instead of, you know, on, I guess, what, Sunday Ticket, which they probably have over there some form of fashion. But I just wondered what your thoughts were since you played.
And the it's cool that there's a, in Tottenham, they can take out the grass field because they don't do that soccer stuff on turf over there. You know, they pure grass, but they slide in artificial turf for the NFL games over at Tottenham. So it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. So you're not gonna mess up their grass over there. because they still is during the same time they're playing soccer games. So you got how many got 22 guys at a time, big old dudes ripping up the grass. You know, they don't want that on their soccer fields.
Yeah, that ain't happening, man. I know they got, okay, so I looked it up. They got the Dolphins and the Chiefs in Germany. That's on November 5th. And then they November 12th, they got the Colts and the Patriots. So that's their two Germany games.
That'd be cool.
That's real cool. Hey, before we go any further and, you know, actually start to introduce guests and things like that that we got today, subscribe.
Yes, check us out, man. Show us some love.
Add
us to your list. Add us to your list. All your cooking shows. You know, you getting your recipes on YouTube and all that stuff. Hey, let us in too. Let us get some of that.
Give us an opportunity. Subscribe. That way, you get all the breaking news, breaking shows that pop up. Also, head on over to IG, TikTok, and the X. Follow and repost us as much as possible. Last but not least, you know what? Become a member of the Collaboration for the Nation. That's right, Dog Central. Our boy Graham Coffee is not here right now. I don't know where Graham is at, but
I got a feeling we're going to hear from, you know, the incomparable Graham.
Yeah, he's going to pop up, no doubt.
He's
going to pop up, no doubt. But make sure you follow Dog Central as well. You get a little bit of everything from us. You got a lot of different podcasts on there, personalities, intel, information, and things like that. But today we got a great guest coming on, man. You know how we do every time there's a big game, no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. Big Foss always, gets into his bag and dials up a few people that he may or may not know, but because of your name and it rings bells in the, around the nation, people pick it up say, "Hey, you know, yeah,
man, bells around the nation." Hey, yeah, man, I just try, man. Hey, listen, man, I just try to remain good people, man. Yes. And then hopefully when you reach out, when good people reach out to other good people, hopefully a collaboration can happen.
Yes,
you
sir.
Know what I mean, no, nobody likes to work with a jerk. You know what I mean? So hopefully I'm the anti-jerk to a lot of people and they come and show us some love over here at 100 Sanford.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hey, by the way, I know Graham's not here, but I know you're going to be at the home field. What is it? It's on November 5th, November 3rd.
November 3rd. That's the Friday before the game on Saturday. I don't have, I'm not sure what I'm going to be doing that Saturday.
Yeah.
But I have to show up and do my thing with home field and company next Friday in Athens. That's going to turn out to be a really good game. You know, an important game.
Yes, sir.
You know, last year's game was important in, I guess, in retrospect. You know, we ended up pulling it out. You know, they had me kind of worried. You know, but this game, this year, you know, the high flying. Mizzou Tigers, Luther Burden is out there. He's trying to get the Heisman. You know what I mean? And who knows?
They ain't no joke. Let me just say this, man, because I know we're going to talk about it next year. You know, this week is definitely Gator Hater Week, but Mizzou ain't no joke, man. They're no joke. I've watched quite a few games so far. That offense is high flying, brother.
It's high flying, but like I said, they still going to touch down in Athens with Missouri on this shirt. They're not touching down in Athens with Philadelphia Eagles on their shirt.
That's true.
They're not touching down in Athens with Crimson Tide on their shirt. They're touching down as the Mizzou Tigers. And as long as we show up as the Georgia Bulldogs, we'll take care of business.
Be all right. I got you. I feel you. So here I am. I'm bringing y'all a little bit, you know, just be aware. But Big Foss is telling y'all, just chill, relax. We still them dogs. We still undefeated. Last time we checked, we haven't lost since 2021. So it's a long time, right?
37 games. We done lost one out of the last 37.
That's crazy, right?
Hey, let's talk our stuff a little bit.
Hey, you know what? Real quick, because we didn't get a chance to talk to you because you weren't on the show last week about Vandy. What were your quick thoughts about Vandy before our guest pops up in here?
I didn't get to see that game either. I missed two games. I saw some highlights while I was over there. I did see some highlights on the ESPN app. And they took care of business. You know, I'm pretty sure defense would have liked to not given up, you know, what they gave up. But I'm always, how do I want to say it? I can always count on this staff to correct anything that has gone awry with the previous play, the previous quarter, the previous game. You know, their staff is adept at addressing, you know, everything that goes on with their team. And so they were supposed to do, went in there, got the W, you know, went to hostile Nash Vegas. No, what's funny about Nash Vegas is, though, man, at Vandy, like, I don't know if there's other stadium like this, but at Vandy, there's like your seat, your bench is up against the wall and the fans are like right there above you. Like, they're like, they can lean over and touch you if they wanted to, you know, so they talk it all kind of trash. It's not a big stadium, but it's hilarious. I got a hilarious story. We played them 1 year, and for some reason, I wasn't in the game. Maybe we were rotating at whatever some point we weren't in the game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they know they're not a match for us, so they're just at the game having a good time. And I wasn't in the game. We talking trash, lightweight to them, you know, out of the eye of coach, you know, talking trash up in the stands. And so I wasn't in the game, and so they talking trash. So I finally, it's my turn to go into the game, and they started chanting Rudy, 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 and I could do nothing but laugh. That was hilarious. You know, them nerds got a little sense of humor up there.
Yo, that is real funny. I don't even know if you saw the video. I wish I had it, because I'd pull it up for the fans to see. But Rosemary Jack Saint was going off on the sideline. Right? He's like, look, we up. Like, what it should be 27-7.
My boy, Big Snack sent it to the group chat. And I had to remind him of that story. I think he had transferred at the time. He used to be my teammate there. He had transferred, so he didn't see it. But I had to tell him the story about Rudy, them calling me Rudy.
Yeah, man, they look like they right up on top of you, and then you see them with the video. Yeah, you look up, you see Thomas looking up, you see Evans looking up, and they're like, "Dang, she right up on top of us talking about."
It's nothing separating you from the crowd, Andy.
But that's good though, man. It kind of brings you or takes you back almost like high school.
Yeah, long as everyone's respectful, man, it's cool.
Yeah, it's just football. It's just football. But yeah, man, we talked about it last week. We talked about that game against Vandy. I mean, it was pretty vanilla. I wish, man, sometimes you wish as a dog fan that you know, the Kirby and the offensive staff or defensive staff, whatever it may be, all the coaches would just let this thing just go. You know what I'm saying? Just pound teams, do what they want to do to them. But that's not what they do. You know, they don't empty their bag against teams like that. They actually kind of hold back. It's kind of vanilla. But it's a sad thing when it's vanilla, because it gives everybody this perception that the dogs ain't what the dogs are. So, but it all shakes out in the end. You know, like we said, we haven't lost a game since 2021, back-to-back national champions, and it is what it is. But you know what we do on 100 Sanford, Foss. Like I said, you went in your bag. You went and got one of the best, man. Hey, like, we talking Georgia, Florida this week.
Hey, and like, it, listen, over the years, like, this guy comes up in many a conversation. When you're talking about dudes that bring it, that brought it.
Yes.
He's always in the conversation. He's overdue for the Hall of Fame. You know, that's long overdue.
Yes.
You know what I mean? But he'll get there. You know, Tim Brown went through the same thing. You know what I mean? But he'll get there. But yeah, this guy he's one of the best to ever do it. And he happens to be a Gator, and I don't mind giving him his props. I got Gator homeboys, friends, and all that stuff. And I talk my trash. You know, I talk it heavy, because I believe in my dogs. But this dude gets nothing but praise from me, man.
Yeah, man. He is by far one of my top five backs of all time. And I'm a Gator hater. I also hate the Jags, but I had nothing but love when this cat walked up into Heinz Field or into Three River Stadium and did his thing, because he is by far one of the most phenomenal backs that ever touched the field. He is none other than Fred Taylor, the ex-Gator, future Hall of Famer. What's going on, dog?
Hey, listen, man, I appreciate you guys inviting me on. But as soon as I get on, Marlo, it seems like I have to hear this. We win national championships back to back, and take advantage. I remember the days when we mowed down those hedges up there in Athens. But you know, that table gonna turn, man. But no, I appreciate you guys for having me on. It's certainly a pleasure, and it's the weekend. I made sure I put on my Dime Life Gator memorabilia, my Gator merch. So I got a
shout out to my boy DJ Williams, yes sir, Dime Life, yes, my old teammate with the Broncos.
Yeah,
they got some nice merch down there. They got Georgia merch now.
Yes,
they got Florida merch. You know, so it's gonna be live down there in Jayville.
Yeah. DJ's done a great thing with Dime Life, man. And you know, he has Champ on board. You know, myself, he's branched out to other universities. But for this particular matchup, this weekend, one of the best college matchups in the history of college rivalries. Obviously, the state lines, you know, backed up against each other. Remember, they used to have the Florida-Georgia game, which was a big deal here.
You played it in that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So did y'all win? Did you win your year?
Man, look, that was, what was that?
I think they beat y'all. Were you my cousin Taquillo Spikes? Taquillo's my
Spikes,
cousin.
Spikes beat y'all in that game.
So they beat y'all.
They probably did. I don't remember.
We won too.
The only thing I remember about my time in the Florida Georgia game was that June was when OJ. They had the OJ chase of 1994. And that's the only thing I remember about that weekend. I'm like, eh. But, you know, a few other things, because Jacquez Green was on that team. Ooh. Hines Ward, Nafis Kareem, all of those boys was on there. And we had the banquet. We had that banquet. And they said we ran out of rice. So they said,
what?
Hey, what? So Quez and them and the Georgia team, they was all clowning Hines Ward. They was clowning Hines. They said Hines' mama ate all the rice because she.
That's messed up. That's messed up,
dude. Messed these guys up. Was wild. They was wild. Hey, but the guys up. Were. It was a good game. Good guys, man. I met all of those guys, and then eventually. We all either became teammates or ended up playing against each other because Nafis and Jacquez was on the Georgia team and they came to Florida. And I know Hines, they all ended up going the Georgia route. And Taquillo eventually went over to Auburn. But, you know, I was almost a Bulldog.
Hold up a second. George, we ain't going to let him slide. We can't let him slide.
I never heard that. It's got to be cap.
We can't let him slide. We can't let him slide. We can't let him slide.
It ain't cap.
I never heard that.
It came up that you had an opportunity to go to Georgia. you might have accepted a little cash. it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough, Big Fred. It wasn't
you
enough.
Know what? We have it back then.
You know what? What's crazy is I never really truly. There was a split second, like Herschel Walker, you know, Terrell Davis, you know, like
Garrison.
Garrison was amazing. Yeah, I said that was a split second. I was like, wow, maybe I could, maybe I started stuttering. I was like, nah, but we ended up taking a visit. It was 10 of us from the same high school. We were all on the same visit, and they were truly interested in. I would say at least 6 of the 10, because I know we all qualified. And we end up doing the visit under Coach Ray Goff. Ray was the head coach then. I remember being at his home, down at the big, beautiful home, waterfall, all that different stuff, the visit there. And it was good. Everything was cool. But it was more of a pro bono type situation because of the money we were getting from a local person that they had contacted, and through him, we got, man, I'm probably getting $1,000 a week or however many times I could go over and visit.
That's a lot for a kid. I take $1,000 for somebody right now.
Listen, I was getting almost whatever I wanted every time I made the trip over, and it got to the point
you would have been worth it.
Yeah, so it was a substantial amount, but spread between a few schools, you know, at that time. And I wasn't going to say anything ever about it, but the NCAA came down on us. They visited Gainesville a few different trips. And one trip, they were like, so before you, last time we came, you all denied it. It was myself, Riedel, Anthony, who all grew up together. We all denied it, denied receiving any funds. And the next thing you know, they were like, before you deny it again this time, we just want you to look at these photos. And in the photos, they was like, you know this man, you know this person, you know that person. Well, who is that person? Red-handed. So at that point, we was like, yeah, we know those people. We did receive fun. We didn't say an amount, but we had to say it. And, you know, and unfortunately, I believe at that time the NCAA took some stuff away from Georgia. You know, I don't think that was the reason we used to kick y'all ass, but
oh, Wade.
I can cuss on here.
Yeah, I you guess I'll let you did. Save.
I can't say nothing. I never beat y'all. The class before me beat y'all, but I never did. Like, Robert didn't beat y'all.
Robert beat us. Robert won in one time when they moved it back to Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Robert won.
I came in the next year.
That was my senior year, Big Stroud's freshman year. Mm-hmm. I still, that's one of my dearest friends to this day.
I just
we'll
saw
be
him
at the game
thing.
Together this weekend. One of my closest friends, man. And we brought him on the visit. They beat us. My senior year, they beat us. We were ranked like number one. We went into Death Valley. LSU beat us. Came back a couple weeks, won a game or two, and then played Georgia. And then they beat us, and they pretty much knocked all of our national champ repeat hopes completely out the door. But it was a good game. Robert went crazy. He had an amazing game. Yeah. And that defense got after us. They, Stroud and those guys, they got after us. I'm trying to think of the other defensive linemen.
Richard Seymour, that was his freshman year.
Yeah, Seymour. It was somebody specifically.
Do you remember Biggie Marlowe's? He came to Jacksonville for a little bit.
I got a Marlowe story. I got into Marlowe story too. Hey, listen,
Big Lee.
I'll get back to that one really quick. But the Big Stroud story is when he came to Florida on a visit, we treated him great. We hung out. Riedel was his host, showed him a great time. Like, all right, big dog, you know, because he was just one of those likable, lovable young guys, country boy. And he fit right in. And then next thing you know, we see this dude on Sports Illustrated busting up out of a Gator shirt with a Georgia shirt underneath.
Yes,
like,
oh,
that's how you're going to play us? But we've been super tight ever since then, man. Even since his visit, then eventually he became one of my teammates in Jacksonville. And another teammate, Marlo's Leroy. Marlo's came and he was loud. You know, he was hustling. He could. Marlo's had some stuff to him. He had some game.
And he was stronger than us.
Yes, sir.
He benched about 500.
Yes, sir, he was. And so what ended up happening was we made a bet, Florida-Georgia bet. Well, actually, it was Marlo's and Keenan McCardell. They made a bet. And we had Coach Tom Coughlin at the time, and TC didn't mess around. Like, TC wasn't messing around. So the bet was, because Marlo's, his suits were horrendous.
Like, he from Auburn, Georgia.
His dress code was a no-no. They were horrendous. And so Keenan was the flyest guy on the team. Like, his suits were the dopest. You know, he dressed kind of like how, you know, Ryan Clark dressed every time you see him. Buttoned up.
Right.
That was K-Mac. Yep. So K-Mac was like, all right, I'll buy you a $10,000. You know, I'll get you a fresh suit and a $10,000 suit package with that if Florida beat y'all. If y'all beat us, then you got to take care of me. And Keenan didn't ask him for a lot because, you know, Marlowe's wasn't a high draft pick, but that was a trade-off. A $10,000 suit package, but Keenan got an opportunity to pick out one of the suits. So we beat y'all. We beat y'all. And the suit that Keenan picked out was a bright orange.
Hey, I think I heard this story.
It was bright orange, vest, three-piece. You know, back then we were wearing the coats a little longer.
Oh, yeah.
Right? That was just the style. And you had to have a little bagginess to it, but it was tailored. So he was fresh. Just the color was crazy. So we hop on the plane, and he had to wear it to an away game. We get on the plane. So Coughlin's like, what the F is this? What is this? Marlowe's, what's going on? What is this? That's not business attire. Fine. We got fined like 10 grand. Hey, Coughlin fined that boy $10,000 for conduct detrimental to not having business attire for away travel. Our business attire with Coughlin was suit, tie, and Coughlin would fine you if your jacket was too long. Like, these guys try to have those long key sweat down to your knees, extended jacket, 3/4 cut. Fine. Boy, Big Marlowe's was like, come on, man. Oh. And he appealed it. I don't know if it was ever rescinded, but yeah, man.
He was hot. Big Marcy is also down there with my – we're going to move on to this game, but shout out to my boy Tony Gilbert. He's back with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
TG, man, love him to death, man. Good guy, good player, a great teammate, great person. I'm happy for him with what he has going on. I remember when he went in there to try to, you know, get the job opportunity, and he was just kind of like he attacked everything the same way. Mm-hmm. He's so business structured, and he's this way. He's always forward moving, forward thinking, and he was that way as a player. And we had our matchups in practice as teammates, and I think we all made each other better.
It's always crazy how heated this rivalry is, but so many of us have connections and relationships off the field. You know, Rand Carthon is one of my good friends that I worked with at the Rams, and we talk all the time. Those guys, Dre Davis, you know, Big Money, all the like. Yep. We all met at certain times, and like it's a heated rivalry on the field, but off the field we got good relationships. So that brings me to something that you said. As soon as we open, you was like, the tide is going to change. So I feel like you're confident in this team, you know, moving forward. Not saying that you're saying they're going to win this weekend or, you know, be national champions anytime soon, but you feel like they're going in the right direction down there in Gainesville.
You know, I do like what they're doing. I think they would have had an opportunity to be more competitive had not the NIL, you know, and collectives and transfer portal stuff. It really took off 2 years ago when Napier came in. And, you know, you have a young coach who just coming in. First of all, recruiting has always been the staple and the hardest thing to do in college sports is recruiting. It makes it a bit easier when you're winning. And this day and age, it's a lot more easier when you're winning and you have that exposure. Social media, these young guys, they can see it. They see what's going down in Bama. They see what's going on in Georgia. And you guys got players. Like, you really got great talent. Georgia's always had talent. Let me just say that out the gate. Georgia has always had great talent, which is always sort of mind-boggling that you didn't have as many championships with especially all of the talent.
During your day.
Even my day, after my day, just paying attention. You just couldn't having the Georgia guys on the team and kind of just going back and forth in that rivalry, you know, with each other and just paying attention to the teams back then. You look at the caliber and quality of players that will come out and go to the NFL and have great NFL careers too. You're like, damn, why weren't they more successful on the college level? But obviously it always comes back down to coaching. A lot of it is X factor. But now when you marry up very good coaching, you know, with Kirby, and you look at what Nick Saban has in Bama. So you marry up great coaching and consistency is the key. Consistency in recruiting, the turnover. You know, they know, these guys know they're going to be there 3 years. Like the dogs, like when I say dogs, not as a bulldog, but if you're a dog, you know, five-star-ish type player, you're going to be there 3 years. And that's just been the turnover. And even if you do slip through the crack and play 4 years there, you know, somebody else is going to be up young. They've groomed them, and they're going to be ready to go. And these guys know if I go to these universities, I have an opportunity to be exposed and also potentially get drafted or just get drafted, not even if not first round, but get drafted. So you have got great turnover, great exposure. At Florida, Napier was trying to build a program. You know, coming in, trying to build a program, trying to look at the turnover, who's going to be there, who's going to leave and go out the portal, who can we bring in? And then you compound that with the NIL competitiveness and the NIL and collectives, which I believe they're going to buckle that up a bit tighter in the years to come, because ain't no way one school can go raise $20 million and this school only raised $5 million. How do you compete? So I think the NCAA, if they're going to put their hands back in it, you got to cap it, you know, somewhere just to make it competitive, whether that's a $5 million pot for all teams and then make it a true NIL, captive collective. And now if you have local companies that are really willing to sponsor these players, do it accordingly in that manner. So even with that, still skewed things a bit. But I guess to answer your question, George, who knows at what point that table will turn? Georgia is so strong, and they've been so strong and so dominant on a very consistent basis, you know, the past decade. Man, it's just hard to really answer that question. Now, I can say after we lost to Utah in the opener this year on the road, which was another crazy thing for me, opening game for the Gators on the road, I'm like, huh? Mm-hmm. When was the last time that ever happened? I don't remember, as long as I've been a Gator, I don't remember it ever happening, us leaving the Swamp on the first game of the season. But they went and they lost to the Utes, and to a backup quarterback at that, I was like, man, here we go. And then a few weeks, they came back and they played a really good Tennessee team and beat them. I'm like, okay. And then we go and we lose to the likes of
South Carolina.
So yeah, so I'm like, we need that consistency. Back in the day, we're thrashing all of those teams, especially like the South Carolinas, you know, the Kentuckys of the world. Like, those were givens on the roster. But recruiting is so competitive nowadays for all these colleges. And then you have coaching that plays a big role too. But Georgia has, they have a strong foundation, man. Your foundation is so solid. I just want to see our guys compete. You know, a play here, a play there could be the determining factor. And these type rivalries, obviously, they've said you throw the records out the door over the history of these games. I think the guys are going to play lights out, and they're going to play their hardest. And if we can have some sort of night like we had versus Tennessee, who recently put up a really good fight versus Bama. And Bama's not as strong as they were, but, you know, to put up that sort of fight and make it a game, I think then this will be, again, God forbid, a blowout. I just want to be able to go to the game, you know, see the guys make
it. Stroud going to talk. So you wanted to be competitive.
And I gave him the ticket. I got the sweet ticket for him. Hey, I will call security on his ass. Hey, you got to get him out of here.
Hey, Fred, you talked about the team being down slightly, but what is it that that Florida has to do really the next few years to kind of bounce back and to be one of those top tier programs like it used to be? George always talks about it, the battles in the trenches, and we've seen it over the last few years that Georgia has just dominated the trenches, offensive side of the ball, defensive side of the ball, and that's why they're back-to-back national champs. But what are your thoughts with Florida? What do they have to do to kind of bounce back and become one of those premier teams?
You said it. look at the draft picks that have left Georgia, you know, on that defensive front. Georgia North, aka the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, look at the defense, how great their defense are, the caliber of players they have up there. You got to be able to recruit in the trenches. You know, Georgia's always been great with acquiring beef, and what I mean by that is the big boys. Yeah, I have had dominant big men on both sides of the ball, very great players. You mentioned this, it goes back to the Seymours and the Strouds and those guys. One, being able to recruit in the trenches, but also having solid and consistent play at the quarterback position. You know, I think that's why we're seeing Bama sort of fall off this year. They'll be back, though. Once those young quarterbacks start getting experience, Bama will be right back where they left off. But it starts in the trenches. In the SEC, it always starts in the trenches in the SEC. If you ain't got no line to protect, or if you got a dog of a defense up front, then you give yourself an opportunity to win, you know, 80% of your games. Obviously, skill talent makes a big part of it. But the skilled players,
everybody got them.
Yeah, there is not a big difference in skilled players. I mean, every blue moon you're gonna have that one, you know, talent, that Nick Chubb, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That Sony Michel, you know, those type of those guys. But shit, yeah, I've been putting out running backs too. Now I think about it. it starts in the trenches first. So they got to be able to recruit offensively, defensive line. I'll make sure I go out and try to find the biggest dogs that I can find on the defensive front. You'll be able to produce some skilled players. But if you can't protect or rush the passer, you get to stop the run in the SEC, you're not going to win.
In my opinion, that Florida heyday, when you thought about Florida heyday, I'll never forget our strength coach came back from that 98 game. He was talking about just how y'all looked getting off the bus with freaking them. What's the other D tackle y'all had back then? Ed Chester. Yes.
Chester should have been a first rounder, easy.
Yes, man. Like those, like when y'all like, you know what I'm saying? My boy Jay Rudd, I played with.
Thurl.
Like, hey, man. Like, when y'all got off the bus, that was the difference. Like, them, the front seven, y'all always kept some mean running backs,
mm-hmm,
and them guys out there on the outside, whether it's Quiz, Michelle, you know, y'all Ike. Had Michelle, Ike. Rashay.
Yeah.
You know, just like guys on the outside, just coming, just those dudes. Yeah. And I don't know if Florida has consistently had those type of guys lately. I think the recruiting rankings showing them, you know, doing some things this year, you know, this upcoming year. And so hopefully it doesn't go too fast. Hopefully it's a slow build. Them days where we had to fight off y'all, Tennessee. See, people don't realize that the East was where it was back in our during our time.
Right.
You know,
right.
That dog fight.
Yeah, the East was the East was very competitive. When you sprinkle in the West, even back then, Arkansas was better than always Bama better. For a bit.
Oh yeah, I never lost.
You know, and then you had the people over at Vanderbilt that used to throw the kitchen sink at you. They didn't care. Not that they were winning, but you had to bring your A game because, you know, I mean, we can beat everybody by 40, 50 points when I was playing. Then we go play Vanderbilt, and it's a that Vanderbilt game be 20 to 10. I'm like, when we be looking around like, man, that was a dog fight. And then every now and then we would play LSU because they had it on a 2-year rotation against teams from the West. So I actually never got an opportunity to play Bama in the regular season. I would play Bama and only if we made the SEC championship, which SEC. We did. And we would blow them out when we played them. but we had some really good guys on the team, man. Ed Chester, you mentioned, who should have been a first rounder. He tore his ACL his senior year. And unfortunately, Ed didn't even get drafted. Like, they didn't understand it back then, you know, medicine and ACL. And he just tore his knee up. And then we had some other really good players who had good receivers. And then they kind of built up after that. And it just goes to my point. Like, when they brought in the Pouncey twins, you know, it had amazing guys up front. God rest in peace. Mo Collins was another dog of a lineman. Yeah, Mo ended up, we played Florida State. Mo manhandled Wisworth, who was considered the best DN in college football. Mo didn't allow sack or pressure against Wisworth, and that put him on the map. But Mo was always one of those. Mo was a dog. Like, you have to have that mindset. You have to have that mentality. And, you know, I'm sitting here talking to Bulldogs, and I keep referencing dogs, which, you know, that's what it is, though.
That's like, what we call them.
You got to be that, right? And I don't know, man. I don't know the history of this game. It's you know, it's just been that revolving door of Georgia dominate, Florida dominate, Georgia dominate, Florida dominate, you know, and few in between, 3, 4, 5, 6 years dominating, few in between, then it flips to the other side. I mean, I don't know, but it makes for a great reunion between former teammates, you know, between guys mm-hmm. who used to go at each other in the actual matchup, between guys who've been teammates on the pro level, between family, friends, you know, the greatest cocktail party in the world, you know, and when I try to explain that to people, they're like, huh, what's that? But playing in Jacksonville and seeing the campus.
You looked up, man. Look, because I never got to go until maybe 5 years ago.
That's listen, from a when fan I tell you, as a playing for the Jaguars, and we will have our practice fields right over here, and then we play a game on Sunday. We come up Monday. You come in the stadium Monday. You do your mistakes. You clean up everything. Tuesday, if you're kind of banged up, you go down for treatment. On Tuesday, you start seeing the campers and the RVs come in, you know, 10, 15. Wednesday, when we go out to do our big install, big practice walkthrough, you see 50 RVs. And then by Thursday, there's 100 RVs, people walking around. They already walking, drinking. You can smell the smoke, the hickory, and the grills going. This is from Thursday. And the game is Saturday.
And so, Marlos used to call back and like they used to come back. They used to tell us about that, about how early they used to start for Georgia, Florida during the week down there in Jacksonville.
It was crazy, and we had the landings over there. And as pros, you know, you can, you know, once you get your Thursday hard practice in, you know, you got a fast Friday coming up, or Friday night where you know you just got a Saturday morning walkthrough. We go and just hang out with the crowd that are coming over to the landings. They've since demolished it, but the landing was like the hot spot downtown. We would just go and mingle and kind of hang out with the fans and in the crowd, and they would just show love. And what I did say, fellas, I said, when I retire, you know, if I don't tailgate anywhere else, I am going to experience that Florida-Georgia tailgate. And when I retired, that was the first thing I did. I'm out there in the middle of I'm in the trenches. I'm in the trenches, like with the fans, showing love, getting awesome. Love, you know. And really, that's what it's about. So I'll be tailgating too this weekend with Big Stroud. We always on the back street at the house in the cut back there with all the locals. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's a good time, man. So we look forward to it. Whenever I'm available, I make sure that I'm there.
So, Fred, it's safe to say that I know Kirby brought up in the past. I know we got to let you go and get up out of here, but Kirby brought it up in the past that he wanted to kind of switch that game to maybe a home and away series. It's safe to say that you're like, nah, keep it there in Jacksonville. Keep it there where all the fans could come together and kind of party.
I mean, to maybe they do a 3-year rotation. If they could go home, Jacksonville, away, you know, technically, in all honesty, Jacksonville is home to the Gators. Like, our fan base is Jacksonville.
You've been saying,
I've always told people I got the best deal in the draft in my 98 class. I was able to go ninth. I went top 10. I went an hour and 15 minutes away from where I played college ball. I fell right in Gator heaven. I was home. I'm in my home state of Florida. No state taxes. So I didn't have to deal with that extra 7% that a lot of these guys got to give away on the back end of their checks. So it was a blessing for me to land in Jacksonville. It was a gift and a curse. You know, I was still stuck in that market while not many people knew me on a national level, because most of our SEC games were played on the SEC network in this region. So, and then once I got drafted here, I was in this region. So unless we won or play primetime games, not a lot of fans from the Midwest to the West Coast got an opportunity to see me play. So from a marketability standpoint and my player and being able to market myself as a player, a Jaguar, it sort of suffered, but I would do it all over the same way. I would personally, because I know the game and the business now, I would have a different approach from a individual standpoint. But collectively, Jacksonville is truly home to Gator Nation at the end of the day. All those fans ain't coming from Gainesville. much like I know all of the fans aren't just living in Athens. But mm-hmm. I would like to see some sort of rotation if they can go Georgia or Athens, Gainesville, Jacksonville. Athens, Gainesville, Jacksonville, or something like that in a rotation. I think that would it will bode for a more of a something for the fans to look forward to. Although the largest cocktail party is something we all look forward to. It's legendary. It's legendary. The fans love it. We love it. What they're doing though for the next couple years, they're going to renovate the stadium. Here coming up in the next couple years. So, you know, it might just, I think it will be that. The series will move back to those colleges unless they decide to play somewhere else. I don't know that part, but I do know that they're renovating Everbank or TIA, Everbank Field.
Yeah. All tail.
old school. Give me this all tail with that next tail chirp too.
I'm torn. It'd be great for fans to experience the swamp once. I only been there once, and I went your senior year, and when I was being recruited, that was Peyton's last game. So I'm pretty sure you remember how electric and crazy that stadium was.
Man,
of course he never beat y'all, just like me. And y'all took him out his last game there, and I was there on a recruiting visit. And it's a crazy thing to experience. One of the loudest places I've ever been.
Yeah, and that is true. I remember George. I remember Coach Spurrier. I'll say this really quick. Coach Spurrier, I gave him bulletin board material. I was like, "Oh, they can't beat us because they scared of us." Coach Spurrier called me. I was like, "Son, did you know what you just did? You gave him bulletin board material because it was on ESPN." The clip is somewhere. I was like, they can't beat us. They just scared of us. They cannot beat us. And it was my senior year. He's like, well, you're going to have to go out and back it up. And that's exactly what I did. I got my boys and we went out there and we terrorized. Out of that word is probably insensitive nowadays. I apologize for that. But we put it on. We gave Peyton the business. And Lovelace, you spoke about Kirby. Kirby Smart and former coach at Florida, I can't think of it right now, went to South Carolina. Coached my son, I'm tripping. Played safety at Georgia and coached at Florida.
Well, Muschamp.
Yeah, Will.
Yeah, Muschamp.
I'm tripping having to bring it. I done been hitting the head too many times. So between Kirby and Will, I used to get them boys the business. Try to tackle who? Man, y'all out of there. I used to give them boys in business, but they turned out to be good coaches, man, both of them, actually.
Yeah. Well, Fred, man, we thank you for coming on. You know, we had Ryan Clark on, so that's we got two out of three. Two out of the three from the pivot, but I don't know.
Now we got to decide. I don't know about Channing.
Look, we can go rated R, but Channing be going rated X, bro. We don't know what we can do.
I've thought about Chan, but I got to figure out my questions.
Chan on Chan. And, you know, what's crazy is what people see is Channing being loose and wild. I mean, Channing has it follows him, right? Yeah. He was wild at Florida. He was he just didn't care. Like, he's a good old country boy. He just didn't care. And he cares. But he does it in Channing's way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he's smart. Channing's so smart, which is Channing studies. He takes his craft serious. He gets there and he have his little bad knuckles and hands and he be writing his notes and he studies and he puts in the work and he can go either way on the show. We always say Channing is the star of the pivot. He is so multi-layered and he likes to... He know we have a moment carved out for Channing. So he waits for his end. But the guests, they pull up and they be ready to, oh, this dude right here, boy. I got to watch. Like, they be ready to get him going. We sit back and we watch it, and he just waits for his moment to jump in, and he makes good, you know, good. He goes viral almost every time we drop a show. And that's just Channing, man. But yeah, y'all should definitely invite him and have him on. Ask him about walking down the street barefoot in Gainesville. Obviously, he's said a lot of other stuff. He used to pee on himself in his uniform. But yeah, man, I appreciate you guys too for having me again. Definitely.
Man, we are very appreciative of you, man. Yeah. You're a very busy man, very visible man. You're on one of the best shows in the country, The Pivot. I appreciate the way you guys let definitely, I know you had guys have more than athletes, but you guys, I appreciate the platform you give to athletes to tell their story, and even entertainers in general, because sports is entertainment. You know, I think people forget that. It's very real. Our lives and our bodies are on the line, but we're entertaining doing that as well. So you guys give a platform for people to give some, to humanize themselves, you know, to the rest of the country. And I'll continue to be a fan of the show, man.
Appreciate
love
it.
You guys. RC, one of the best doing it. And you know, he's a good, I guess you want to say, quarterback. You know,
amazing.
What I mean? You know what I mean? He's one of the
amazing
best out there.
He a captain.
Underrated. Uh-oh. Oh, that's you guys with your little canes and stuff, man.
See, that's what Channing tells RC on the show. we did four shows yesterday, man. Between Orlando, we flew into Atlanta last night. We landed, knocked out a show 20 minutes after that, and went rushed right back to the airport and flew home. I got back home at midnight. So I was up at 5, I went to the airport, caught an early flight to Orlando, knocked out 3 shows in Orlando, caught a flight to Atlanta, knocked that show out, caught the 10:30 from Atlanta back to Fort Lauderdale, got here at 12 something. I was in the bed by 1:30 and back up again this morning at 5. So we'd be like this, but RC was like, Fred, what direction you want to go with this guest? And I said, this is kind of what I want to do. He's like, I want you to quarterback it. You know, you go ahead and lead the way. But we have moments where ain't no ego, ain't no pride on our show. Like, we just want to bring good content. We want to respect and honor the guests and help them get, you know, their message, story, promo, whatever it might be. We just want to have good conversation, and we don't care who get the glory. We know RC is great. He's buttoned up. He can give it to you any type of way. We know what Chan bring to the table. His versatility, he goes way up here. And we know I'm more subtle and more open. I try to be more open-minded, and I analyze from that perspective. And I kind of bring Chan back down. And we meet RC, all three of us meet in the middle. And that's just what we bring to the table, man. But yeah, man, appreciate it, fellas, for sure.
Thank y'all, man.
George, I was trying to get a little merch bet, man. I was going to say, look, if we win, he got to give us some of that George, you know, that Georgia merch.
So for sure, I'm sure we can get some over there, man. I mean, it would be great, obviously. And I don't know why. Well, Champ is the plug, obviously.
Yeah,
but also DJ. And DJ, I mean, DJ Williams, with what you guys are doing with your show, your Big Bulldogs, I think it's a no-brainer to gift you guys Georgia merch. They got a lot of amazing shirts, hoodies, hats, shorts, the little the nice little beach fits. I better not see you out there at the beach looking all sexy, Big George.
Hey, listen, let me tell you. I don't wear no shorts below my knees no more. I don't know what I was thinking back in the day with them long shorts.
What we was thinking. That was just the thing, man. It's errors and timing and all of that stuff.
But yeah, I saw Champ the other day, man. A lot of guys went into the Georgia High School Football Hall of Fame. Champ introduced a lot of guys. Champ went into the last class.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man. shout out to those guys, man. We're gonna let Fred go, man.
We
can't thank him enough for joining us today. You could be doing a lot of things, including sleeping with that schedule.
It's time to do my other radio show, and then I got some other stuff. I'm leaving tomorrow morning to head up, so it's all love, man. I'm glad we're able to carve it out and get it done.
We appreciate it. We definitely do. I can't wait to go show my son, man. I already showed him. I said, look, this is one of the best that's ever done it. So
ever done it. And I mean that wholeheartedly. Yes, I'm glad that he knows that, because we're in the area of social media now where people can get their rocks off. And when he's talking about the greats that they ever tote that tater, your name always comes up. So I'm glad you can get those, you know, flowers, as they call them, you know, while you're still here, man.
Appreciate you, Jordan. Thank you, bro. Thank you.
All right.
All right, guys. Y'all have a good one, man. Big salute. Go Gators.
Bad luck to you this weekend, man.
But have a great time. Brother, have fun this weekend,
guys.
All right. You too. Hey, Fred, George. I mean, that was a good interview, man. Good interview. That's fun. Good, loving man. Stuff, man. Ain't nothing better than having somebody, you know, obviously you played yourself, but when you have players that have played in the games that you are talking about, discussing, and not only that, one of the best that's ever done it. I mean, I told my son the other day, I said, you know who I got this week? And I said, I got Fred Taylor. Now, he's 9 years old. He's like, I don't know. I put that film on. He's like, oh, okay. That's who daddy? Like, that's who we got. That dude right there. 2-1 for Florida, 2-8 for the Jaguars. So
he's a rare dude, man. When people talk about running backs, is like, he checks all the boxes.
All of them.
You know, like you have guys like him, like Adrian Peterson, you know, that check all the boxes. You got somebody like, just say for instance, you got somebody like Nick Chubb, who in all intents and purposes, he checks all the boxes, but the package is a little different. Like Fred is the running back that you would build on Matt.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, he's, you know, speaks wouldn't change, you know, like he's big. When you take your kid to the doctor and they give you the percentile, he is 99th percentile on everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Size, weight, speed,
power. Everything, man. When you go back and look at
power, everything.
Yeah, man. When you go back and you look at it, because I was looking at film of him this past week, one cut and go. You know what I'm saying? When you look at that type of back, that I'm sure as a lineman, you're like, look, I need to open up this hole, and hopefully this running back behind me gonna hit this thing and be going. Fred is that type of dude. It was one cut, go. And if you got in his way, it was gonna be power. He was gonna run over you. Mm-hmm. Or he was still elusive in open field, shifty. Too, man.
You know, the and you know, it carried over to the NFL too. That's why it should be in the Hall of Fame. You know, if you look at the guys that are already in there, it's a no-brainer to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Very, very much so a no-brainer.
Yeah, I don't even understand that, man. I mean, I understand the whole voting and everything Hall like
Fame
that. But
Hall of Fame is kind of weird.
It's politics.
You know
what I mean?
Like, you know, like if like just you look at my Bulldog brother, Terrell Davis, amazing running back. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You know, Fred compares in every way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got your guys like, you know, like Gale Sayers, like his you know, great back, great return man, you know, decent numbers. Mm-hmm. Fred has like really good numbers.
Close to 12,000 yards rushing, almost 70 touchdowns.
And excellent tape.
Yes. Yes.
So
I think with him, though, it kind of, you know, just being in Jacksonville hurt him. You know what I mean? Not that visible market. You know, he had those iconic games that you would see back in the, you know, the playoffs when they're playing the Patriots. And heck, I remember them going up to Pittsburgh and blasting us when we were in Pittsburgh. But I think if he was one of those guys that had played in Pittsburgh, played in New England earlier, right? Because he ended his career in New England. Maybe played in L.A. somewhere where he can really get his shine. Come on, man, we'd be talking about a Hall of Famer already. but because it's Jacksonville, you know what I mean? One of those places that people kind of thought where they had, people thought they had the ugly uniforms. You had the Mark Brunell, who wasn't the sexy quarterback, the lefty throwing, you know, but man, still one of the best has ever done it. And I love the way he was talking on our podcast. He got off on the podcast because usually he's kind of quiet on the pivot, you know, real cerebral. But today he was really showing himself and his and who he really is.
Yeah, man. Shout out to Fred Taylor, man. We appreciate him coming on the show, man.
Yes,
sir. That was awesome to talk to him, man. All love / hate.
Yeah, it's enough flowers for you. Enough flowers for Fred. But hey, man, we do got the game on Saturday, 3:30,
yeah.
CBS. For those who will be in attendance, such as Fred, other
people. I can't go, man.
Man, look, I already told
my
you.
My daughter has senior night on Friday, Westlake High School. Mm. She's a cheerleader there, so she has senior night. So can't get out that night. And then one of my homeboys, PJ, coming to town. There's One Music Fest this weekend. So check out some music this weekend. And I'll have the dogs on my phone, though. I tell you that much.
Yes, sir. Of course. You know what? Fred kind of brought it up. He was talking about the trenches, and I kind of wanted to ask him about the quarterback situation because, you know, finally they got it. Looks like they got somebody under center that can actually do a little something with this offense. But he did mention as well, you know, I mean, if you have those playmakers, you know, those skill players, those are guys you can develop. Those are guys that you can find. But without those guys in the trenches, not too much can be done. But when you are looking at Mertz, I'm really surprised, man. Coming from Wisconsin, the transfer, I thought he'd be a turnover machine in the SEC. He's actually taking care of the ball. I think that's the reason why they are 5-2 and have won as many games as they have, just simply because he's been able to take care of the ball, because their offensive line hasn't been fortified yet. The defensive line hasn't been fortified yet. They don't really have the playmakers so much on the outside of Pearsall and Wilson, the freshman. I think they also got the freshman tight end. What the heck is his name? Boardingham. That actually leads them in receiving as an additional threat. But I'm really interested to see what the Dogs do against this Mertz-led team, because they got some splash, man. When you talk about the trenches, you talk about somebody just simply opening up a hole, they got some backs that can get through there and can cause some issues. And one of the things that concerns me this week, and it's concerned me all year, quite honestly, has been able to set the edge. And I think if we don't set the edge, it could be problematic at various times. What are your thoughts going into this game, Big Foss? Because that's something that's going to have to be corrected, and it should have been corrected after that, during this bye week. But the next five games, we got nothing but ranked teams either in Athens or on the road. So what are your thoughts going into this game?
I feel like with this game, if Georgia plays their best game, they win. If Florida plays their best game, Georgia still wins. I just think we have to, I want us to look great out of the bye instead of rusty. You know what I mean? So I really think, you know, I think skill is going to show up. I want the trenches to show up on both sides. You know, we have to, you know, they have a few guys on their defensive line, in their front seven, you know, they can make some plays. We gotta do our thing up front on the offensive side, at O-line, at OL, and tight end. You know what I mean? So we need to see how we replace Brock in both the run game and the passing game. And I feel like this bye week has given us the best opportunity to do so. You know what I mean? And so we'll see what happens. And defense, you know, I think defense is, you know, Florida is not that explosive. You know what I mean? Mertz is taking what you're giving him. You know, he's taking care of the ball. You know, he's playing solid football. You know, we need to make his day a nightmare. And I like Kirby's chances of doing that, you know, from a coaching perspective. You know, so they've probably, I know they've been looking at these guys a couple of weeks now. Not looking ahead, but that's just how football prep goes. Mm-hmm. And so we'll see what happens, man.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think given 2 weeks, Kirby Smart going up against Napier, a Florida team that does not have all their horses within the trenches, it should be a game where they should be able to dominate. But it's one of those things where it's still, as a fan, you still have trepidation just simply because they have not dominated yet in the trenches. The offensive line looks to be gelling right at the right point. The run game has actually definitely picked up. They've been able to protect the quarterback with Carson Beck very rarely being touched. But the area that has not shown up on tape yet, which is really, really surprising, and I know that we've had a lot of guys go to the NFL. You lose a Davis, you lose a Carter, you lose a Wyatt. I mean, you can't replace those guys just off the street. But simply, these guys in the trenches have not shown up the way that we want them to show up. So it's interesting because I know me and Graham talked about it last week. Will we see some guys now mixed into the rotation? A guy like a Christian Miller, some of these young kids that have been really flashed on tape, will they get more of their opportunity? Because again, you get down to this last five games, starting with Florida on Saturday, you better be able to disrupt the quarterback. You better be able to get them off their square and not being able to sit back in the pocket and just let the thing rip. We're not going to bypass and overlook Florida, but you get to that next week and you have not started to already develop that. And you got a Missouri that you're playing that they get the ball out very quick. They got a lot of playmakers, a lot of guys in space that can do things. It could be very problematic. So I'm like you. I want to see them come out, you know, firing on all cylinders in this game. It is a road/home game. We'll say, you know, we are going into enemy territory, but at the same time, the stadium is going to be split right down the middle. So you shouldn't have any problems in terms of noise and cadence and being able to hear certain things. But I'm looking for this team to really get off on all cylinders, kind of going back to that Kentucky game when Kentucky came in ranked and people thought, okay, is Kentucky going to be able to give Georgia some issues? And they didn't. Carson Beck went out there and was slinging that thing. The defense was out there causing havoc. I need to see that same type of performance coming out the gate because you don't want to look rusty. Forget what the national folks think, because all it's about is winning. You know, if you go 12-0, you win the SEC championship, you win the playoffs regardless. You're in the best conference in all of football. But I still need to see these guys develop, especially on that interior defensive line that's been problematic.
Yeah. Just doing on – I was talking on Stadium and Gale, you know, a couple days ago, and I kind of feel like you feel, but they – let me know that statistically the Dawgs are doing pretty doggone good on defense. You know, it's just, and it goes back to what we've been saying all year, is that it just looks different. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And also watching football Sunday night, it kind of put it in perspective for me watching Philly versus Miami,
yeah.
That we lost some really, 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 really,
yeah,
really good players. Yeah. So it's kind of unfair to expect the what's still left to live up to that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm watching Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis like throw grown men around in their first and second years, and like, we don't have that. Now, we got better than what most people have.
Right, right.
We just don't have that. And so to expect that would be kind of unfair to the guys that are here. Then we got some solid guys. They play good football. They know what they're doing, and I think they're going to get better as the year goes on. And so the Dawgs are playing solid. I think they have the best back end in the country. By far, you know,
yeah,
22, 23, 24. Ugh,
the nasty man. I'm actually upset that I'm upset that
that Smith has did not get All-American honors, mid-season All-American honors. That's crazy to me. He's got four picks. Really? He didn't even get second team All-American honors. I'm really surprised.
He's a good one, man. He's a ball hawk.
Then you throw Lassiter on the other at the corner spot, and he's balling. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's really coming into his own.
He's playing great ball.
Yes, sir.
You know, then we got some young guys that are getting better. You know what I mean? You can see it from week to week. You know, with Everett and company. You know, they're young guys that are getting better with a lot on their in that defense. You know, it's not easy. That playbook is robust. Mm-hmm. It is on the defensive side of the ball. It's a robust playbook, and I think the sky's the limit for us. You know what I mean? It's interesting, man. We undefeated. You know, a chance to like it's every goal is still in front of us.
Yeah,
every goal is still in front of us. Everything is still attainable, and that's fascinating to see, being that. You know, they've reached the ultimate goal 2 years in a row, and they're on track for 3 years if they play up to their standard.
Yeah, it's just a weird feeling. You know what I mean? Like, we when we talk about they haven't lost since 21, back-to-back national champions. And then it's also weird being undefeated and having to defend yourself week to week. You know, I know Kirby's always talked about we're not going to be the hunted, we are the hunters, but still, no matter what, to everybody else, you are the hunted. Everybody's coming after you. And no matter, it takes a certain kind of mindset to shut the doors over there at Athens and on Sanford, and all those guys gel up together and say, look, man, it's us against the world. And hopefully that you think coming out of this bye week with these next five games, they say to themselves, look, man, it's us against everybody. Nobody thinks that we can do this. Who's going to step up, be a leader? Who's going to step up and make sure that we are on our square doing everything that we need to do? Because what was interesting to me was that video that we talked about, where you talk about Rosemary Jack Saint, when he looked at the offensive line, he looked at all of his skill players and said, look, man, it ain't supposed to be this. It ain't supposed to be 27. They expect greatness. And hopefully these next five games, they say to themselves, you know what? We expect to be great. Some of you guys have not won a national championship. Some of you guys have not played prominent roles. What do you want your legacy to be? Do you want to be that team that loses it, or do you want to be that team that wins a third unprecedented, you know, championship going into the new college football era, where it's going to be a playoff of 12 teams? So I'm interested to see how this team looks coming out of the bye week. I cannot wait until Saturday. Again, you talk about Mertz, who's been special for them, over 1,900 yards, or close to 1,900 yards, 12 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. They have been somewhat explosive in terms of the running back position when they do get the ball. They're averaging like 5.9 yards per carry between their top three backs. So you have to get them on the ground. And hopefully that defensive line really steps up. On the back end, I'm like you. I'm not really concerned too much. You got so many stars back there. So many guys that are going to play on Sundays that know what they're supposed to be doing. But what we have seen also from that back end is a couple breakdowns. Even the game against Vanderbilt, it was the breakdown on the second or third play where they scored a touchdown. I mean, it was wide open, just running straight down the seam. So hopefully those things have been corrected. But what's your prediction, man, going into this game? I know, like Mr. T would say, but what's your prediction in terms of this game?
I think Georgia wins 38-14.
Okay. Last year, 42-20. I'm going to go 41-17. I think, again, until the defense really shows me that they are going to just snuff people out the way they have, you know, they're going to give up some points. They got a great kicker over there at Florida. And what's the kid's name? Trey Smack, 14 of 14. I mean, he's nailed like a couple 50-yarders. But, yeah, I still think this offense does what they do.
Even if they give me 38-21, I'm happy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those games. You know, it's funny too
because it's a rivalry. It's a rivalry. It's a rivalry game.
Exactly.
You winning by more than two touchdowns.
Exactly.
You know, you can't ask for nothing more than that.
I agree, 100%, 100%. So we got those out the way, man. One last thing before we get up out of here, I got to ask you this. You know, it's been in the news lately. Michigan, Harbaugh, sign stealing. Coach yeah. Prime has talked about it. Everybody's talked about it. What are your thoughts on that, man? Because, you know, I hear everybody steals signs, and, you know, that's just part of the thing. But still, you got to play within the confines of the rules. What's your thoughts?
Yes, I have an opinion, and my opinion comes with a ton of nuance. So roll with me.
All right.
I think, okay, first of all, we start with, you know, the facts. The facts are advanced scouting is illegal in NCAA football.
Facts.
I get that. But do I think scouting is immoral? Not even a little bit. I was an advanced scout. I advanced scouted in the NFL. You know, I never recorded anything, you know, but, you know, I get to the stadium. I get in the sky box, in the press box with the best view available. I got my binoculars, you know, and I got my, you know, I didn't use it a lot. My recorder, you know, voice recorder. And I looked through my binoculars and I took notes, you know, sometimes I nail signs and all this stuff like that. You're looking to see, you know, who's coming in the game, you know, when so-and-so gets hurt or this, like advanced scouting is a thing. You just can't do it in college. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's an immoral thing. Where I would draw that is videotaping. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Go in there and go get your signs, buddy. You know, so if we're talking if it wasn't, you know, if they broke the rules as they stand in the NCAA now, of course they gotta be, you know, they gotta be reprimanded.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but as far as the discussion goes, as far as is it wrong, you know, I'm going to throw morals in it. Is it morally wrong within the context of football? I don't believe that's the case. You know, I believe everyone's trying to get an edge. Everyone's trying to get an advantage, and you put in the work to get it. You know, it's not mm-hmm. you're not you know, taking the easy way out. Videotaping stuff, you go, you get your signs. If you want to match it up to the tape, you want to see like this, that, and the other. You want to go watch. You want to pull up the TV copy, see if you can hear something. You know, like it's all fair game. So the people that think it's immoral, I don't agree with. And but I also feel like, you know, Coach Prime said, like, I can send you my playbook, and it won't matter. You still got to stop it. You know what I mean? When you get into the fight with the big dogs, you know what I mean? It matters. If I tell you about to run lead left, and I got a 350-pound offensive tackle, and you got a 190-pound defensive end, and you know I'm running lead left, I don't think it matters that you know I'm running lead left. You know what I mean? And I get it. It has a lot to do with scheme and putting guys in the right position and where, you know, it feels unfair that, you know, you have guys in the right position, you know, to stop a play. But against good defense, they're going to be in the right position to stop a play anyway without cheating. You know what I mean? That's called preparation. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, it's going to be interesting to find out.
They got all your tape. They got all your tape. They got all. They know all your tendencies, and you know it's gonna be hard as it is. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
So, you know, you still got to play the game. We'll see what happens. I do think Michigan is hella sloppy. You know what I mean. Like if you're gonna cheat, be the best.
Yeah, man, they got receipts. Like, everybody, it's like, know, everybody's like, coming think, out with, you know, receipts.
I think, you know, like the stuff that Harbaugh got in trouble for. Should he have gotten in trouble? No. Hell no, he shouldn't have got in trouble. But still, don't be sloppy. don't be sloppy. This is a sloppy, cheating operation.
Yeah, man, they got a lot of things going on over there. I find it interesting.
Like the Patriots, man.
Uh-huh. Ooh, yeah. See, you know what? See, Fred only had 30 minutes. You know, anytime we bring somebody from the Pats,
yeah, we could have got. I forgot about that. We should have got the scoop.
Yeah, I couldn't get the scoop. Couldn't get. He was like, I gotta go. But yeah, man, it's gonna be interesting to see because, you know, for the NCAA to be coming out against Michigan and a lot of teams coming out saying things about Michigan, there has to be more that the NCAA has besides just, you know, a guy going to, you know, a few games and taking down a few notes because, It seemed just kind of odd how they went out there against TCU and got mollywopped in the first half, and then all of a sudden in the second half they adjusted, almost like TCU adjusted their playbook and then went right back to the film that, you know, maybe Michigan had already had. But if you go back, look at that Michigan Ohio State game, you know, you just saw that tape that came out. We posted it on our the X now, the little video of when Michigan, you know, Ohio State's getting ready to change. They're about to audible. Everybody on the Michigan sideline stops and looks over, including the players. And then all of a sudden, everybody's adjusting. I mean, it's like, dang, you know, that's a little messed up. But we'll see. We'll see what comes out about that. I just want to get your perspective.
Word was they did it versus Georgia too, though. What happened?
What's that?
Word was that they did it against Georgia too.
Yeah, but they couldn't stop them boys.
So it's like
it didn't
you gotta
work.
You gotta play the game, and I get it. Yeah. You wanna govern your entity, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. you know, you gotta make sure everything is on the up and up. And I'm cool with that, you know. Yeah. But as far as, you know, is it right, wrong? It's like I say, play football. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Don't record nobody's stuff, and I feel. Up until that.
I feel you. All right, man. Well, we got the big game on Saturday. We about to get up out of here. It's been real to have you back in the building. Love having you on as always. We'll get back with Graham and make sure he's okay. But as always, we'll see you at 100 Sanford. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs.
Thank you for listening to the 100 Sanford Podcast. Tune in weekly to hear fresh content from the 100 Sanford Podcast every Thursday, but also with some pop-up shows every now and then as news breaks. You can also follow the content on our website, www.100sanfordpodcast.com, and email us at dogs@100sanfordpodcast.com. Lastly, reach out to us on social media streams. For Twitter, it's @100Sanford, but on IG, TikTok, Facebook, and other accounts, it's 100 Sanford Podcast. All right, folks, that's it. And as usual, see you at 100 Sanford.